are here.
Real honor to be here. Brent's a good friend. Great guy. I'd like to just piggyback on a few things that were said. 818. Now there's a number. God brings that number to me all the time. And I so appreciated your word on 818. You know, one day the Holy Spirit said to me, so check Google, see what it says. So I put in 818, and in great big blue Holy Spirit letters, it says, the greatest move of God ever. So when I hear that number, I know where we're going. And it's just beautiful what God put on your heart there. So thank you for sharing that. We were singing that song, Majesty. One day I was talking to the Lord about that and said, so teach me about majesty. He said, yeah, okay. So who was your best employee ever? Oh, that was real easy for me to figure out. The one guy who had he just bent over backwards to do everything beautifully, and he was my best finisher. I was in carpentry. And so he said, write him a blessing. So I just laid it on really thick. You know, I just did it up really good, and I gave it to him, and he was so blessed by it, and it was beautiful. And about 4 days later, the Holy Spirit says to me, so who was your worst employee ever? And I go, oh, that's real easy. He's a guy who stole my contract, used my truck, everything on my time, whatever. And, you know, just there were lots of things about it. And so the Holy Spirit says, send them the same blessing. And you go, oh, really? Yeah, I'd like to teach you about majesty. That's what it looks like, you know. And so I had to send it to him, and I did. And you know what he said? He says, oh, thank you very much. I go, God, he didn't even get it. And God goes, happens to me all the time. You know, so that's what His Majesty's about, you know. So I just love that song. Well, I wanted to start today. We're going to go somewhere, but I'm going to start with reading Psalm 91, and then we'll go some directions with it. So we're going to start there. Psalm 91, if you've got your Bible, we'll go there. Okay. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For it is He who delivers me from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His pinions, and under His wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark. In some translations it says a rampart. You will not be afraid of the terror by night, or of the arrow that flies by day, of the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, or the destruction that lays waste at noon. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. You will only look on with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. For you have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. For He will give His angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you will trample down. Because you have loved me, therefore I will deliver you. I will set you on securely on high, because you have known my name. You will call upon me and I will answer you. I will be with you in trouble. I will rescue you. I will honor you. With long life I will satisfy you, and let you behold my salvation. So I wanted to bring that We'll come back to it in a little bit, but I wanted to talk to you briefly about something that a study that was done at a seminary. I think it was Fuller Theological Seminary, but anyway, they did a study and they said, when are people most effective and when are they really seeing the most amazing things in their life? And as they did their study and research, they discovered that it was with people who are 50 and older, that it was actually in that time of life where everything was powerful. And they called it a point of convergence. So it's like everything in your life has been for this time. It's been training, it's been, you know, whether it's been your business, I mean, you've spent a lot of time, you've learned a lot of things, you've gone through a lot of different things, and in your spiritual walk, in your relationships, and at that point, it's like everything converges to a point, and God goes, okay, now we're ready. So, of course, what they did next was, well, let's find out how people are doing with this. So they researched a number of believers who were 50 and older, and they discovered that only 20% of the people were walking in that kind of power and anointing. And so they asked the obvious question, how come? What's a common thing that's sort of derailing 80% of the people? So as they did the study, they found something pretty interesting. They discovered that 80% of the people, well, actually 100% of the people, have had lots of contradictions in their life where they've read something like Psalm 91 and something else has happened and they're going, I guess, Maybe I don't understand the word of God. And so they allowed their circumstance to change their understanding of the word of God. And as a result of that, they didn't move further on it. So the contradictions could be like you get a dream that you're going to be a ruler and then your brothers sell you to Egypt. It can be God tells you that you have a healing gift and the next number of people you pray for don't get healed and some of them don't even survive. Contradiction is when God gives you a word and the opposite thing happens. When you're praying for healing and your wife dies, when you declare Psalm 91 over your family and someone gets killed in a horrible accident. So circumstances are the opposite of our expectation. But, 20% persevered. And 20% have said, let God be true and every man a liar. If God is true, then we're not going to accept what happened and we're going to keep on. So, because I know God, I know what he's like. I know he is always good. So the problem is elsewhere. It's certainly not with God. God is looking for us. He's looking for people he can commend, for that he can approve the silver, the gold, the precious stones from our lives that we have lived out. God is in those special moments where we are actually motivated by him and moved in the Spirit to do what we're designed to do. So we should not be looking for the next blessing. We tend to have itching ears, and the big danger is chasing the revelation rather than God himself and hearing his word that will activate us. So We need to realize this is the greatest time of our life. We have a lot of amazing things that God wants to do from this point forward. And he's saying, you know, you can ask him, but I believe he's saying, I've been training you all the time for what's coming. And we're just sitting at that spot here in 2022, like you said, where things are going to break loose in a major way. And God needs his people ready for that. So I thought I'd share a few stories of some of the things that I've also run into that were situations like that, and it'll be an encouragement for you. Back in 2015, I was the economy took a real dip in Grand Prairie, and I'm in I have a bunch of rental places that I rent out to tenants, and we were hitting 25% vacancy, and the next month was looking like 40%, and I was going, you know, this can't carry on for very long. It's going to be really tough. And about that point, you know, I'd been praying about it, and then somebody asked me to give a testimony of what the Lord had done in my life, so I did, because he'd done some amazing things. But, you know, in the back of my mind, I'm going, yeah, but what about right now? And so I got home after spending some time at a camp, and my wife said, you know, I've been thinking we probably should be praying for our renters. And I go, oh, that would be a really good idea, wouldn't it? You know, and so we got pretty aggressive about it. You know, most of them are not believers. And so I just made a list of everyone who was in my places, because, you know, there were another 25% who were still renting from me who couldn't pay their bills either. And so there was just not much money coming in. And I thought, okay, who all doesn't have a job? Oh, well, we had a list of, I think, 12 people who didn't have jobs. So I phoned every one of them and said, listen, we're going to be praying for you guys to get a job, and you're going to get a job real soon. So we just started praying that. Within 7 days, I think 65% of them had a job, and by the end of 3 weeks, every one of them had a job. So it was just beautiful, you know, and it was the start of a turnaround, you know, but we needed to put our focus on them instead of on ourselves. And it was just a really good beginning to seeing a turnaround in that time. So we were pretty excited about that. But, you know, it carried on, because pretty soon there'd be a person who needed a lot of help. And so Christmas one year, we decided to bring a bunch of people in and just kind of pray through their whole house, because they were going through all sorts of messes. And everybody brought a gift, and we blessed them with a bunch of gifts. And just as soon as we walked into the house, it was just like the Holy Spirit just said, ask her if she wants to accept me. So I did, and she said, yes. And so right there, before we even got started, she accepted Jesus. And it was, and then we prayed. And halfway through that time, the husband walks in, and his eyes are about this big, because there's people all over his house praying over the house, praying for him. And then pretty soon, somebody's sharing Jesus with him, you know, and it was quite an amazing thing. And this gal, we continued to have prayer times with her. One day she came to the house, and she's hurting. She's grabbing her arm and doing this. And I said, what's wrong with your wrist? She says, oh, I've got to go to Calgary. It's been broken for a year and a half, and it won't heal, and they're going to have to pin it or something to make it grow together. And my wife doesn't get out around the people as much as I do. So I called her over. I said, Dawn, come on, pray for her right now for this wrist. So Dawn prayed for that wrist. And later on that day, she's at home and she's doing her laundry. And the kids come in and say, Mom, How come you're doing laundry? You never pick up anything with that arm. He goes, yeah, I know. It's working. It seems all right. And so about 3 weeks later, she went to Calgary to get it pinned, and it was 100% healed. So praise the Lord, you know. It was just lovely to see that. A little later, you know, and it just carries on, because a little later, she said, you know, I think my son wants to accept Jesus. You want to meet him for coffee? And I'm going, absolutely. So, you know, same thing. Before I could hardly ask him, he's already ready to accept Jesus. So he did. And then I said to him, okay, now that you've accepted Jesus, you've got to tell me something you really want Jesus to do for you, because he wants to show you that he's real. And the guy goes, oh, he said, I'm so stupid in school. You know, he's this little First Nations guy, shy as can be. He says, I'm so stupid in school, and I'm always failing everything. I said, great, we're going to pray for wisdom, because God says he gives wisdom to those who ask. So we'll just ask for it right now. So we asked for wisdom, and 5 days later we met to kind of give him a little bit of him and his mom both. We were talking about the fullness of the Spirit with them. And I said, so how's it going in school? And his eyes just got bright. And he goes, it's amazing. I'm passing everything. And this is 5 days later. He says, and the mom says, the principal called school and said, from school, and said, what happened to your kid? And she said, you know, he gets up and wants to go to school, and he's doing his homework, and everything has changed in 5 days. You know, like, it was just amazing to see. So God's on the move, right? That's what he wants to do. He wants to show himself powerful and strong in that. So those are just some of the stories of the things that happened. I guess another one, a pastor in Kelowna got a word from the Lord. He said, there's going to be salvations in back alleys and in stadiums. I thought, well, isn't that interesting? Because these guys' place is on a back alley that I've turned into a street, but legally it's a back alley. And sure enough, we kept going, and pretty soon we had salvations happening in all sorts of places. And it was almost always in places that I had that were in a back alley. And it was just, you know, we saw drug dealer people all of a sudden calling and things changing there. It was quite amazing to see how God was just bringing that into being. And I think it all, you know, stems back to deciding we were going to pray for our tenants, right? And all of a sudden, God just opened it up. And, you know, it was probably around that time that just felt a sort of a visitation from the Lord. And he said, so Edwin, said, how long were you in the mountains? And I actually had been, for 40 years, I had been working with a camp that we started, Peace Country Wilderness Camps, and we did remote trips into the mountains all the time. And I did a count, and sure enough, it was 40 years. And I go, oh, that's pretty interesting, isn't it? And so that was where I wanted to go next. So I'd like to go back to the story of Moses. And let's go down to Exodus chapter 3. We're going to go through the first 8 verses of Exodus chapter 3. Okay. Exodus chapter 3. Now Moses was pasturing the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, yet the bush was not consumed. So Moses said, I must turn aside now and see this marvelous sight, why this bush has not burned up. When the Lord saw that, he turned aside to look. God called him from the midst of the bush, and he said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not come near here. Remove your sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground. He said also, I am the God of your father, the God of Abram, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And then Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt. I have given heed to their cry, and because of their taskmasters, for I am aware of their suffering. So I have come down to deliver them from the power of the Egyptians and to bring them up from that land to a good and spacious land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite. And now behold, the cry of the sons of Israel has come to me. Furthermore, I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians are oppressing them. So it goes on from there. But I wanted to take some time to look at Moses. At this point, Moses was 80 years old. He had spent 40 years in Pharaoh's palace learning to be somebody. And he spent another 40 years learning to be nobody in the middle of the wilderness, right? And at the end of that, after he figured out that it wasn't about him and that he didn't have to do it, God says, okay, now we're ready. Now we're ready to go somewhere. And he spent the last year being God somebody, didn't he? You know, and that's the picture of what God wants to do, what he wants to do with us. And I really feel that, you know, we need to take that message, the whole thing of convergence, where everything has come into our life for such a time as this is such an important message for us in these days. And so I just wanted to take the time to challenge you with that. And I'd like to actually come back now to Psalm 91. Because I have a fairly personal testimony regarding Psalm 91. How many of you have heard of Graham Cook? Yeah, if Brent's been around, you've heard about Graham Cook. And Graham's teaching really changed my life in many, many ways. So on my journey, as I was just enjoying the Holy Spirit, I said to the Lord one day, I said, so Lord, I'd like to at least be a little bit like Graham. I know I can't like him, but, you know, it'd be really nice to at least be a little bit like him. And I just felt the Lord saying, okay, why don't you start where he started? And I knew where he had started. The Lord had told him, I want you to spend 6 months in nothing but Psalm 91. And so for 2.5 months, he did really good. And then he was a little bit hungry for a bit of Ephesians, and he started looking in Ephesians, and the Holy Spirit says, Graham, I said Psalm 91. He goes, oh, well, you know, he said, don't give me the well, you know. Psalm 91 for 6 months, that's what it is. And so he did, and it became an underpinning for him, really. And so when God said that to me, I was in quite a rage because I had actually memorized Psalm 91 and we were declaring it over our family. And on one morning, when we did that, my daughter-in-law had an accident and a grandchild of ours lost. And it was like a double hit. And it was really tragic years ago. And so I'm going, God, give me a different psalm. I just want a different psalm. I don't want that psalm. And I was just railing and just going on and on. And after a while, I just hear him screaming at me, Edwin, shut up. And I'm going, oh, He goes, so how many people were in that truck when you were declaring that? Well, five of them were. He goes, and how many came out? Well, right, four of them did. He goes, there weren't supposed to be any that came out. That's what the doctor told you, didn't he? Oh, yeah. So after that, I thought, well, okay, then I better start here and we'll learn some more and we'll go further with this. And so it was the start of my journey in that song. And it's been the most amazing and beautiful journey to go there. And I think there's some amazing keys there, you know. And still have, I've run into situations since then that go, couldn't have happened because I've been declaring Psalm 91. But then I ask, so what is the problem? Am I really dwelling in the shelter of the Most High, or am I just grazing there, you know? Am I really parked in that place? And it just has been a really good exercise to come back to Psalm 91. So partway through that journey, my wife asked me to write a blessing for my kids. And of course, I had to write Psalm 91 because I couldn't look anywhere else at that time. And so I did. And I'd just like to share that today because it's become a blessing for much more than my children. And I'd just like to close with what he gave me that day. So you can just kind of close your eyes and listen to him talk to you. You are my favorite, my beloved. Don't tell anyone else here, but you are my favorite. You rest under my wings because you have chosen to live in the secret place with me. My name is Yahweh. I am. And I meet you there to remind you that I always choose you. I never change. I cannot change because I am. So know that you will always be my favorite. I can't change my mind. I am your refuge. I am your defense. Remember, speak it out. Your words are powerful. When other things are so overwhelming, I come as your defense. And I love that you come to me for everything you need, because I am. I am is what my name Yahweh means. I love that you trust me. And you can know that surely, oh, don't you just love that word? Surely, surely, I will protect you. I will protect you from snares, those crippling thoughts that would keep you from flying. You are my eagle, and I protect you so that you can fly. I protect you from deadly things too, those diseases that want to kill you. I cover you with my feathers, and under my wings, you are totally protected. I have you covered. I have your back. I am faithful. You can trust me. I am. I am your shield. I defend you. But I'm not just your defense. I'm also your offense. I am your rampart, the ramp that armies built to get over a wall and into a city. So no matter what you are needing today, I am. I am your provision. I get you into wherever you want to go. It's me that's your way in. I am. Just walk with me. I always get you in. So you will not fear, not the terror of the night, not the times when Satan tries to steal and destroy something or even tries to kill. I have you covered, not just at night, but in the daytime too. From arrows of criticism, from bad thoughts, from people who say slanderous things, bad things about you. I protect you from demonic spirits that try to hinder you, that try to slow you down. I protect you from diseases, from accidents and war, anything that wants to destroy you or waste you. Though 1,000 people might get taken out, you will not. I won't let it come near you. You will see the wicked getting taken out, but it's not going to be you. Because you have asked me to inhabit you, to live in you, and make you a new person, the Easter story is our story. How I died and how the old you died with me. And when I arose, you got raised a new person. This is what happened when you asked me into your life. And now everything has changed. Now disasters do not come near your tent. Instead, you trample the disaster bringer. And when the evil one comes as a lion roaring to try to scare you, or he comes like a snake as he did in the Garden of Eden, either way, you get to trample him. And I have assigned angels, plural, not just one, to you. I have charged them to accompany you, to defend you, and to preserve you in all your ways. Whether you are goofing around or waging spiritual war or driving or walking or flying, they shall carry you in their hand, and that way you won't even stub your toe. You have chosen to love me. I, Yahweh, love that about you. I love that you love me. So now I promise that I will rescue you. I will protect you, and I will set you on high in that secret place with me, above principalities and powers. That place where the evil one can't touch you. That place where we talk, where we hang out together. You know the place. It's where we talk. You tell me your thoughts, your needs, your dreams, your aspiration. And I answer you. You know that I'm with you in trouble, and I will always deliver you. But not only that, I bring you honor. I honor you. That is your upgrade. See, You are royalty, and you are my favorite. So as my child, you are honored. You are a princess. You are a prince. You are my kid. So you get my honor. And not only that, I'm going to show you what salvation looks like. It's what Easter is all about. And it again has everything to do with my name, Yahweh. And salvation is about me rescuing you from sin, from bad situations, from disease, from whatever your situation. So take my name, I am. Put a blank behind it. You get to fill in the blank. I am everything you need. I am love. I am your future. I am your forgiveness. I am your healer. I am your protection. I am your answer to every problem. I am your joy. I am your celebration. I am your delight. I am your passion. So do you get the idea? Well, it's going to take a long time to discover everything I am. So I'm going to give you the gift of long life. You will need a long, long life to comprehend how massive my salvation is. And you will be satisfied with my salvation as you start to understand it in the way I intend it to be for you. So happy Easter every day. I am so delighted that I was able to give my life to rescue you and to give you my salvation. I look back at the travail of my soul, and I am so satisfied. Love you. Okay.